What is your favorite thing about Christmas? I've written down some things that I think might be like family fortunes, what would be near the top of the list. I think number one might be the presents. Is there something you really, really want this year? There must have been a Christmas, even if you're not a really big present person anymore, maybe you've grown up a little bit. But there must have been a Christmas you remember where everyone wanted the same thing. And it can probably say a lot about your age, which one from this list kind of you remember. Was it Rubik's Cubes? Was it a Cabbage Patch Kid? Was it a Care Bear or a Transformer or a Beanie Baby or a Tickle Me Elmo or Pokemon cards or Tamagotchis or Furbies, micro scooters? I think Furbies and micro scooters were the first ones I remember. Maybe that says something about my age. I was reading about the worst Christmas crazes for presents this week. And apparently someone paid $3,000 for an Elmo toy. $3,000. And there was one really serious fight in, I think it was in New York, outside a shop. Two parents came to blows over the last toy in the shop. Then from about 2000 onwards, it was all screens, wasn't it? Nintendos, PlayStations, Xboxes, iPods, iPads, iPhones. And it's the same this year. Maybe you're one of the few that have managed to get a PS5. Or some people just want a cute toy, like Baby Yoda, or Lego, or a new bike, or a Nerf gun. Or the excitement about getting a new present on Christmas Day is amazing, isn't it? Tearing the wrapping paper, having guessed what it was before that. Whatever it is, it's lovely to know that someone has bought that for you, or someone has brought that for you. It's been chosen with care and attention, with you in mind, and it's cost them something. They've either made it, or they've worked hard to pay for it. And that shows that they love you dearly. Presents are great, aren't they? Or is your favorite part the food? The big turkey with cranberry sauce, the lovely roast potatoes, crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside, Yorkshire puddings, pigs in blankets, stuffing, gravy, parsnips. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Even if you've got a little bit of room, no one really wants Christmas pudding, but maybe you do. Maybe you just love the lights. It's lovely being in this dark room with these lovely lights. So nice, isn't it, driving through Gabalva from about halfway through October, the Christmas lights go up. And it's so colourful and bright, isn't it? And when I grew up in London, and one of our favourite things to do in December was to get on the top deck of a bus, and we were driven. That would be impressive as a kid. And we saw all the lights on Oxford Street, and it was beautiful. And the dark and the cold nights don't seem so bad suddenly. Or is Christmas for you just about resting and relaxing? No work, no early alarm, put your feet up, watch some rubbish on the telly, and just get some rest. Or maybe it's seeing family, having all the people you love from four families in the same room, playing games together, catching up with one another, enjoying one another's company. That's going to be very difficult this year, isn't it? And we're maybe not going to be able to see the same amount of our family as we'd like. But we love spending time with family over Christmas and friends. But all of these traditions, all of our favorite things about Christmas, seem a far cry from Christmas number one, from the first Christmas that we read about in the Bible. But a lot of these things that we see and that we love about Christmas, they're good things. Can I just say that? They're good things. And I want to show you this evening how, despite being amazing for a short while, these things will never make us truly happy. But Jesus Christ, who was born at Christmas, can. Let's see how. That first Christmas, before it was even called Christmas, there was a baby born. But I'm sure you knew that. But what's so special about a baby? what's so special about a little baby being born? Babies are cute and they do funny things. They cry a lot, I know that. But you've just said that this baby is better than anything that Christmas has to offer. But how? Well, you see, this baby was someone who the world had been excitedly waiting for. A bit like when you're a kid and you're counting down the sleeps till Christmas. I don't know how many sleeps it is till Christmas, maybe 12 more sleeps till Christmas. And as a kid, you don't really understand the concept of time, do you? And you're like, is it today? Is it today? And the whole Bible is a story of people going, is it today? Has he come? They're waiting for a savior to come. Now, the Bible is a big book. This is not so big, but it's got lots of small little words. It's a book with over 1,000 chapters. Don't be put off by that if you're thinking about reading it. It's a good read. In the first and second chapters of these 1,000 chapters, we see God creating the world. By the third chapter, chapter 3 of over 1,000, God's people have already messed up because they don't listen to God. And so the friendship between them and God is broken. And they need someone to fix it. They need someone to come between them and say, hey, I've done this. I fixed it for you. And in that same third chapter, when the people have messed things up, there is a mention, the first mention of someone that will come and fix it. Someone who will come and save the day. The world had been left in a mess. There was sadness, there was trouble, there was disappointment and selfishness and violence and betrayal and greed and shame. Things that we see today on a daily basis. But the most sad thing of all was that the relationship between God and his people had been broken. And so God makes this promise that he would send someone to fix it. And so from that point in the Bible, the first half of the Bible, or even more than half, the Old Testament, is a lot about these promises that God makes. One day, a savior will come. And the people are waiting excitedly for that day to come. Now, the Christmas story is about that savior finally making his appearance. And you can tell that the people have been waiting excitedly because of their reactions in the nativity story. We think of Mary, that first reading, that second reading we had, who writes a song after finding out that she is going to be the one who brings this baby into the world. And she said, my spirit rejoices in God, my savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. You can tell she's so excited. This savior that has been promised for so long, for thousands of years. She would be the one to bring him into the world. Or what about those shepherds? Those little boys with the tea towels on their heads. Probably not looking like that. But the angels saying to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. I wonder what they thought was going to happen. This will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. I'm sure they'll pinch themselves. Has the day come? Have we been told about this good news? He's been born to you. He's the Messiah. That means savior of the people. The Lord, there will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Does that deter them, the fact that it's just a baby? No, they hurried off. They find Mary and Joseph and the baby who is lying in a manger. And of course, we don't have time to read it. On Sunday morning, if you come along, we're going to be looking at the wise men. The three little boys with tinfoil on their heads. And on coming to the house, they see the child with his mother Mary. And they bow down and worship him. And they opened their treasures and presented it to him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This baby made Mary say, future generations will call me blessed. This baby, when he was announced by the angels to the shepherds and they hurried to see him, they left their sheep on the mountainside.
That didn't matter anymore. They wanted to see the Savior. This baby led important men from the Far East to travel hundreds of miles, bringing expensive gifts, bowing down at the feet of this baby. Surely this was someone special. This was the Savior of the world who had been expected. But why is he worth celebrating this Christmas? Well, let me return to those things that we mentioned at the beginning. All of those things that we love about Christmas, they're great. But see how Jesus is better than all those things. Because he didn't stay as a baby in the manger. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? He grew, became a boy, a teenager, and then a man. And he grew and he did amazing things. Now, he's better than any present. I don't know what the most popular present this year is going to be, but he's better than any PS5. Because the PS5 isn't going to be the last games console ever brought out, is it? You know there's going to be a PS6 before long. If you were to get the exact present you wanted this year, would you be happy to skip next year's Christmas? If it was that good, would you say, you know what, that was all I needed? No, because you'll probably grow bored or grow out of the present you got. It probably won't even take until next Christmas. It might take until the end of Boxing Day, and you'd be like, I've had enough now. We can pester our mums and our dads for the present we need. I need this. I need this. I don't think you have Argos catalogues anymore, but I used to rip out pages of Argos catalogues with all these things that I didn't know existed before I'd opened it. And then I was like, I need this. Mum, seriously, I need Stretch Armstrong so badly. Never got it. But before long, these toys that you said, I need, they're on top of a cupboard. You've lost it. You don't even know where it is, or they're broken. And you're asking for something else the next year. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he never breaks. He never gets boring. He never needs an upgrade. He's always amazing. He's always brilliant. Always there when we need him. He's the ultimate gift that's been given to us. One man in the Bible wrote a song about how amazing God was. He said this, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and sing your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. He's so incredible that we can't get bored of him. Every day you can sing his praises. You can sing his name forever and ever. There's not many toys or gifts that you can say that about. No one can fathom, it says. No one can get their heads around how amazing he is. Jesus is better than any Christmas dinner that you can have because he satisfies completely. Remember, when you eat so much on Christmas Day that you fall asleep into a deep food coma to the Queen's speech, got a bit of dribble coming down. You think you'll never, ever need to eat again. About 9 o'clock, you start getting peckish again, don't you? Jesus says this, though, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Of course, when we become Christians, when we put our trust in Jesus, we still have to eat physical food. But he's saying that our hunger for some satisfaction in our life will be met when we come to Jesus. If Christmas is joyful because you get to see family, or if it's painful because it reminds you of family that you don't get to see anymore, or people who have passed on. Or maybe Christmas is always a disappointment because there's always arguments and sadness. Well, here is good news. Jesus invites you into his family. Read these words. Hear these words. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. A man called John is writing these words, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. When you become a Christian, you're welcomed into God's family. He loves you like he loves his own son, who never lets you down. Never have angry words together when someone hasn't guessed your clue in charades. Never lets you down last minute when they've said that they're going to come all year and they don't turn up. All these disappointments that we have from family can be rectified with God's family. Or how about Christmas lights? They fill us with joy for that month or those few months sometimes. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Those Christmas lights, they're up for a bit and then they go up in the attic. Or they stay up till January and they look really depressing, don't they? And this year has been a dark year, hasn't it? But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If we have Jesus in our life, we don't walk in darkness. Like a light, he shows us he's out there. Like a light, he keeps us safe. Like a light, there is warmth that radiates from it. Like a light, he guides our feet, showing us where to go. He is the warm, pure light that helps us to grow. Or if Christmas is all about rest and relaxation for you, it's really sad, isn't it? I think scientists have found that the time over Christmas goes quicker than any other time of the year. It doesn't help that you don't know what day of the week it is. But as soon as you've kind of feel like you've had time to relax, maybe a few hours, it feels like, and then January rears its ugly head. The days are cold and they're dreary, and there's not that same excitement about them. The stress returns. Imagine there was a day coming where we could rest forever, where stress and fear and boredom would all be gone. Jesus says, I'll bring that rest. Come to me, I will give you that rest. There's a reason why Christians get that little bit, extra bit excited about Christmas. It's because we're celebrating the God who made everything, stepping into the world and finally repairing that broken relationship between man and God. He did this by not only being born. The Christmas story doesn't end with God being born as a person. But he lived. He lived a perfect life where he didn't do anything wrong. And then he was killed. Why did the perfect one have to die? How could he die? Was it a big mix-up? Was it one great big mistake? He died even though he was innocent. He died even though he didn't have to. Because he saw all the wrong things that we had done. Even if you come to church, you've done things that are wrong. Every single one of us sat in this room have got something in common. We do things wrong. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Our lives are characterized by things that we've done wrong. Our selfishness and greed and anger and all these other problems that come up in our lives. But Jesus saw all those things and said, I'll take the punishment that you deserve for that. And so when he died on the cross, he died in our place if we put our trust in him. But that wasn't the end of the story. He rose again to show that nothing could stop him. Not even the most fierce enemy, death. So is Christmas just about presents, food, lights, family time, rest? No, it's so much more than that. Is Christmas about a baby in a manger, about Mary and Joseph and shepherds and wise men? Yes, but it's so much more than that. It's about who that baby was and who he is today and what he did and what he does for us today. He brings lasting enjoyment. He brings satisfaction. He brings light to our dark lives. He invites us into a new family. And he gives us rest in a world that never seems to stop. If he sounds amazing to you tonight, or if he sounds like someone you want to get to know better, or someone you want to find out more about, why not come along in the second week of January, where we'll have more time to look at who Jesus was and what it means to put your trust in him. Why don't you come along and find out more about him. Why don't we pray?